I have Windows 10 and Windows or Office 365. I have an Outlook.com calendar that I use on my Outlook. I have calendar events that go, you know, pretty far out into the future. And sometimes I want to sort of find them in a search for them. And usually Control E is a search function. And I hit it, I type in the word, say, filter to look for when I need to change my furnace filter or something like that. And it says that there are like 26 results, but I'm having trouble reading them. That search function has always been very squirrely for a long time. And I'm just wondering if that's how people might search for calendar events, or if there's, I know you could do a find, but I'm just wondering if anybody had good success in terms of reading with the search function.
Yeah, that function changes over time. Sometimes you had to enter, sometimes you didn't have to enter. What I find works reasonably consistent, and again, even this would change a little bit, is I hit F3, which brings you to the search field as well. You know, type in something like filter, hit enter, then tab to the list of results. And then that's usually just an up or down arrow type of thing from there. But maybe others have had different experiences.
Yeah, I find that the Outlook search is just really inconsistent, generally undependable and stinky. The search in the Outlook app on the phone, on the iPhone, works pretty well. You know, you have three tabs. It's one of the three tabs at the bottom. So not really an answer, but you might have better success using the search in the Outlook on the iPhone app.
I was experimenting with using Control Shift F for like advanced find. And I'm thinking that that's an alternative, that you have to go through a bunch of different selections. But if you hit find now, it will bring up that list, and you have to hit the F6 key to cycle around to get to the list of results. But I am finding that I'm having better success with that. But it's a lot easier just to do the Control E or F3. I was hoping that was the case. But if you're having difficulty, try Control Shift F and do your search through that. You might have some better results.
Wondering what everyone's favorite conversion software is for Windows from PDF to Microsoft Word. I'm still in Office 2016. I've been using for a long time Kurzweil 1000 because I could identify a PDF file in Windows Explorer, for example, hit the context menu, and because I've Kurzweil 1000 installed, down the menu, just a few clicks, is convert interactively with Kurzweil interactively. I hit that, and it automatically makes an RTF file in the same folder that I'm in, which is wicked convenient. You know, then I just arrow to the RTF, I open it, and I'm on my way. So I don't have to open another application or anything.
I mean, the PDFs you get, and have you tried just open them up in Word?
No, not too often.
Because if they're reasonably, you know, accessible PDFs, they should open right. You can actually open it in Word itself.
Yeah, I'll try that. And what I want to be able to manipulate the new file. That's why I convert it. So
I'll tell you one thing that may help, since you kind of like want to make this, you know, as platform agnostic as possible. Now, I assume when you say platform agnostic, you're dealing strictly with Windows and JAWS, or you're talking about
media? Yep. Okay. That's me.
So one thing you could do is, if you have, you know, a nice recent version of JAWS, especially JAWS 2021, focus on a file, you know, the PDF file in Windows Explorer, and do if you do the context menu, you'll see that one of the choices is to do the JAWS Convenient OCR now. And in 2021, they have a beautiful feature. One of the other options is to send it, do the conversion, send it right to Word.
I've tried that. Yes, I've seen that. I haven't played with it a lot. The little bit I played with it, it didn't seem to do as good a OCR job as Kurzweil did.
I'm surprised.
I'll play with it some more. Yeah.
My testing has been just the opposite. I've actually seen it do a better job because it engine, but anyway.
All right. I'll do it some more then.
When I was at work and I used to get a lot of PDFs, what I used to do is sometimes if you open the PDF and you hit the F12 key to bring up the save as, sometimes you're able to save it as an RTF.
But again, that's only going to work if it's a text-based file and not an image file.
That's true.
I strongly recommend giving the JAWS OCR function another try. I almost feel like I don't need Kurzweil anymore because the JAWS seems to do just as well.
Oh, all right.
And
okay.
And I thought it did when you open a, when you save something as Word, I thought it did open in the folder where the original document was.
Maybe it will.
Okay. Yeah, I think it will.
Yeah.
Is it possible to take a PDF file and change the font size and resave it?
Yes. I mean, normally what most people do is use Adobe Pro. So they, you know, load the file in Adobe Pro, make all your changes, you know, whatever attributes you want, and save it again. But that's a subscription-based program, which most people don't have. One thing you could do is open in Word again. You know, it goes back to the Word thing we talked about.
Yes.
Okay. So you could open in Word, make all your, you know, attribute changes, and save it as PDF. And then effectively, you just did what you want to do.
If you have like two separate PDF files without having like a pro version, can you combine pages, PDF pages into one PDF document?
I mean, if you don't have Adobe Pro, if you want to, if you could open them up in Word, and it's basically like just manipulating any other Word document, you could just combine.
I see what you say.
Save
okay.
as PDF, yeah.
Because what you're asking about is someone who evidently has some vision and is having problems looking at this PDF file, but we don't know anything about Zoom. So I'm assuming she can use Zoom. Would Zoom be able to make these PDF files larger so they could see the text and music score?
What platform is she reading it on?
Windows. Evidently on Windows.
Well, you know, in Windows, of course, if she has, you know, there's a Windows magnifier, which is built into all the, you know, that would magnify everything. Now, Adobe Reader itself has a Zoom function built into it. And she could do that as well. I think she would do it granularly, like start first with the Zoom function built into Adobe Reader.
Yep.
If that doesn't work, then try Windows Magnify. If that doesn't work, then she may have to spend some money for a third-party thing like Zoom Text, yeah.
I would like to read Bookshare books using Voice Dream Reader. And James is the voice that I have, which I've heard people recommend, but I'm not crazy about the synthesized voice. And I'm wondering if people have any other recommendations for voices that I could try that I might like better.
In the VoiceDream audio, you know, in the shop where you can go under audio settings and then manage voices, you can sample each of them a little bit to see which one you might want to purchase. I really quite like the Ivona voices, like Sally and Joey I like, and there's like I think it's Kendra and Kimberly in terms of American English, and then the British English, the Amy is really nice, and I like their Australian ones. And nice.
What's this category of voices? You said Ivona?
Yes. So when you go into the VoiceDream Reader app, when you go under audio settings and then manage voices, there's a place there where you can shop for voices.
Right.
And it does say, it'll say the name and then it'll say the manufacturer after, which is Ivona. So because
okay,
they have like
great.
Acapella and Ivona and NeoSpeech, like James is a NeoSpeech one.
Right.
So I definitely quite like the Ivona ones. I own them for IPC as well. I find them to be very pleasant, like they're not too harsh.
Okay.
But definitely you can get, it's a tiny little sample, but you can at least like if you activate that play sample button, you know, you can hear it. It's so subjective, right? So I'm telling you
ones that
I like. But I definitely encourage you, you know, check out some of the samples too that they have
okay.
there.
Question about Twitterific. Is anybody using it? I played around with it a little bit and noticed like if I swipe up, it gives me some options to retweet and stuff like that. But I just want to send a text to somebody. I couldn't figure that out.
When you say, are you saying that you want to send a direct message to somebody?
No, like, you know, I just want to send out a text. Like, you know, I just want to send a text to the folks, I suppose, who are following me or out to the world.
Oh, okay. So you want to send a tweet.
Oh, I'm sorry, not text, tweet, yes.
Yeah. So near the top of the screen, one of the first buttons is a compose button. You hit that and then you can do a bunch of things, but near the bottom of the screen, there's a text field. You can enter the text and then when you're finished entering the text, you flick one time to the left and it says post or tweet and you hit that and you're done.
This is Amy again. Quick question on Zoom usage. You know, when you're mute and unmute yourself, there's always this little message that says, hold the space bar down if you want to temporarily unmute. Does that work with JAWS running?
It does, but Jaws, if Jaws is speaking, it's going to it's going to tell you what you're trying to do. So yeah, one of the things you could do is you could kind of like mute Jaws, like due to
full speed. What's that called?
Speech on demand.
Speech on demand.
On demand. Okay.
There is a way in Jaws to prevent certain characters from being echoed to the screen. Selectively echo, and one of the characters that you can get rid of that way is the space.
Oh, interesting.
Is that in the key manager, or is that a speech dictionary? I think it's in the key manager, isn't it? I did see in the keyboard manager that it looks like you can turn off like a space or a key on an application specific basis. I'm sorry, go ahead, Louie. I cut you off.
That's literally what I was just going to say. Yeah, the key, I've done that as well. The key manager, and you can use first letter navigation. So this is, you go into settings center, and if you search manage key, you'll get to the manage key labels. And then once you're just F6 over to it, it's a button. And there are literally something like 84, I'm looking at it now, keyboard options. I think some that don't even exist anymore on keyboards. But so you can use a first letter navigation. If you just type SP, you'll get to space right away. And I've set that to mute and it works.
I'm looking for a good resource reference for Excel commands, sort of advanced ones like sorting data and formulas and that kind of thing.
For the first one about the Excel, Microsoft itself has a really good tutorial. If you Google Microsoft using Excel from the keyboard, and it goes into different levels of what you could do, but it's just a command reference. It's not so much a tutorial. It doesn't really teach you what each function will do. It just teaches you how to get to each function.
I wondered if anybody who is really familiar with GPS apps and devices could let me know if there's a good comparison between some of the smartphone GPS apps and what's on something like the Victor Reader Track.
I use Nearby Explorer and I love it. It's an iPhone app.
I would say steer away from the Victor Trek for GPS navigation. It will give you some things and it has improved. But if I needed to know where I was and wanted to get directions to get there or mark off my options, of all the apps I've used, it's the last one I would pick. It will tell you that you are approaching and the maps are updated, and it's great in a car when you kind of sort of want to know where you are, but it would not help me if I were on the corner of two streets in my neighborhood and I needed to know what they were for orientation purposes, which I think is one of the most valuable things in a GPS app. Last time we used Blind Square, I thought it was pretty good.
Yeah, Blind Square is an excellent app. That would be worth checking out, Jen, also is Blind Square. It gives you a lot of detail about the information around you.
That you may want to think about is from Microsoft, there's something called Soundscape. I don't know if anyone's tried that one. That one does a really nice job of giving you like almost like a three-dimensional view of what's around you, because you'll not only announce your landmarks and streets and stuff like that, but you'll put it, the audio, in whatever ear it needs to go to actually tell you where it is. It's pretty.
Yeah, that's a great app. And if you just want to know what street you're on, there's another one called Ariadne that's real simple. And there's a Where Am I button on it. But if I had to choose two, it would probably be Blind Square and Soundscapes.
Okay, well, in that case, what battery accessory is good to have?
Yeah, they're like $10 or $20 on Amazon.
Yeah, it's a lot cheaper than that, than getting
get a battery charger that you can, they have like little USB.
Yeah, are there accessible ones that are good? Oh, I've seen one that I'm not crazy.
You can get everything
there
from...
There are accessible ones, and there are some that they don't talk to you, but they're just as good as the accessible ones.
Yeah, because you can get ones.
We actually have three or four in this.
You can get ones that will buzz and tell you how much juice you have left in the battery. They'll actually say it, but you can do it, just with a regular one. And just realize you can probably charge your phone up a few times, two or three times, and just keep track of that.
The other thing could do if you want to spend the big bucks, you could get the Apple battery case.
That's the other thought.
They'll tell you exactly, because that's integrated into the system. I'll tell you exactly how much battery charge you have on that too.
I have a work computer that I have to log in. When I log in, I have to put in my email and password. lately is the other day, it's been telling me incorrect password, the incorrect password, try again. So I put in my correct password and it keeps telling me the same thing. It doesn't lock me out and it's never told me that I need to put in a new password. So I'm a little confused as to what's going on. I can call the help desk on Monday, but the first thing they're probably going to do is going to give me a temporary password. And I don't know if that's solving the problem or not.
I suspect what they're doing is using Microsoft accounts as your login. Is that correct?
I'm guessing you're right.
So what you probably have to do, obviously you have to do it on a different device because you can't get into your computer. Go to office.com and then sign in with your name and your old password. And it may tell you what you need to do. It may say you have to reset your password. It may say you need to verify your identity by sending you a verification code, or it may just let you in and you could do what David said then. But I agree with David. You want to give that a shot. Yeah. But you can't do it on your laptop because you can't get into your laptop.
You mentioned that you could get into the account from your phone. Is that correct?
Yep.
I had exactly the same situation now, maybe 4 months ago. And you also mentioned that's your work account, right? I work for the state and you are supposed to renew your password every 3 months or something. I think about 4 months ago, all of a sudden my password to log onto the account, which is to log into the computer, which then gets me access to the network and everything, stopped working. There's no reset password, nothing. It doesn't tell you anything beyond the fact that the thing doesn't work. It's because the password has expired and the notification that was supposed to alert you didn't work. And so you've gone past the stage where it's supposed to tell you, go back and then give you a chance. No. So you're going to have to talk to your network people, because I did it for days and then I spoke to them and they reset it 3 days ago. I made a note to reset my password. The exactly the day I had set to call and reset it, I got a notification that I need to reset my password. I did it independently and it worked. So I think you're going to have to talk to them.
But before you do all that, the one thing that no one's suggested that you check is if you tab around in your logon dialog, you'll get to the Wi-Fi notification. Make sure that you have internet connectivity, because if you're using your email address, Microsoft account, your Outlook account as your logon, it needs to authenticate that through the internet. So if you're not online, that's going to cause the same exact issue that you're having as well. Go to like office.com or outlook.com. Try logging in with your account credentials and it'll redirect you to where you need to be. And it may just say your password's expired. Yeah.